Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Welcome, everybody. It's good to have you with us again on the broadcast. It is August 22nd. We say that again each week because many of you download and listen to this, and it's helpful for you to know which broadcast you're listening to. But we welcome you, whether it be live or on a download basis. Good to have you with us. Again, this is Lincoln on Lending, a radio show created by mortgage professionals for mortgage professionals, trying to help you digest all that's going on in this industry. And certainly, there's a lot going on. We have a special guest today, and we're going to be talking about whose job is it to grow production. We have John Traver, who is going to be talking on this. John does a lot of consulting in the area of production management, production growth, and he's going to be giving us some of his insights on what has changed. You're going to want to stay tuned throughout the whole program for each of the segments we have. But also, I just got a call from Fox. I will be appearing on Neil Cavuto for those of you listening and want to listen to me and my comments on housing, job growth, and how it's going to affect housing. Tune in to Neil Cavuto, 6 p.m. this evening on Fox Business News. Without further ado, let's get Joe Farr back on the call. Joe is out on vacation, cooling his heels out there in West Virginia in beautiful, beautiful, lush, cool country. It's good to have you back in hot, hot Texas. But man, you left and it was a hot, wild week.
Well, it was hot temperature wise and hot everything else, wasn't it?
Yeah, but let's talk about today before we get into the last week. Let's talk about what's going on today. What are prices doing?
Well, you know, when I first started making my notes for the show, I was going to say everything's kind of calm. You know, it's been a relatively quiet day, but I can't say that any longer. It's been another volatile day. MBS prices. Maybe not to the huge extent it was last week, but MBS prices started the day out around down 8:30 seconds. That's compared to end of day Friday. So, you know, it was down 8 and it rose to being about break even or even with Friday, and we've lost about half that benefit. So it has continued to be a bit of a roller coaster. Not any information really today to drive that. It's just been whichever way stocks have been going, mortgages have been going the other way.
Interesting. Well, we certainly are in a climate where things are changing and volatility is starting to become the norm. Let's get in to talk about the wild week we had last week. And if you could kind of give us a recap, Joe, of what happened last week.
Well, you know, last week there are two general fears. One is European debt issues are going to spread to European banks, which are going to spread to the European economy, and which is going to slow down what's already a slow growth for the U.S. economy. And you know, there have been efforts to calm those fears, but quite frankly, they hadn't been able to come up with anything to really help cause investors to not be concerned about that. Then the other thing is just the pace of economic growth in the United States. And we saw a couple economic measures last week that really supported that the pace is slow and maybe slowing. The manufacturing data last week was terrible. The New York State Index and the Philly Fed Index were way, way short of expectation. Were way negative when small positives were expected. Existing home sales. We'd all like to see that pick up, but it's below expectations, below what are already low expectations. So that was all bad. Jobless claims came in a little higher than expected. On the good side, industrial production was better than expected, which is a pretty big event.
Yeah, it is
but,
a big event.
It's also
talk
a volatile event, and so people kind of dismiss that as not being too indicative of which way things were heading. And then an interesting twist, you know, we've always said on the show that inflation's a real negative. To the extent that inflation's rising, it's generally a real negative for mortgage rates. And Last week, we saw both PPI and CPI come in higher than expected, and even when you strip out the food and energy components, core was higher than expected and rising on an annual basis. So that would ordinarily be a negative, but to a certain extent, that has the effect of limiting what more the Fed might be able to do to stimulate the economy, and that has a potential to limit stock values, which has potential to push investors to mortgage-backed securities and treasuries. So, you know, rising inflation is usually very bad for mortgage rates, and right now, as investors are really shifting to try to find a safe place to put their money, it might be a good thing.
Yeah, it actually may be a good thing. Isn't that interesting? We're certainly in uncharted waters as far as
we sure are.
Economic. Yeah, we never see anything quite like this.
We're at the lowest levels in as long as most people have been measuring weekly mortgage rates or average mortgage rates. It's we're the lowest we at least middle of the week we got there.
Yeah. And I think that we're going to be staying down in those levels. Anything notable? There's so much notable about last week, but anything else before we get into what's happening this week?
No, it's just volatile. I think, as you said the week before, it's going to continue to be volatile. I think it's going to continue to be volatile until we get some of these uncertainties behind us.
Well, let's get quickly, before we end this segment, what's on the docket for this week? More volatility, certainly, but what else?
Not a lot. Durable orders comes out on Wednesday, and the first revision of the second quarter GDP comes out on Friday. There are a couple other minor things. I guess the Treasury auctions that come out on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday could be market moving. They certainly were the last time they were auctioned. Of course, those were the 10 and the 30 year, but these are the shorter term ones, 2, 5, and 7. But they have both. All the auctions have been sending signals to the market one way or another, and it's created some market movement.
Well, we certainly looked at what happened last year and last week of the 30 year, different than what happened the 10 year. It's going to be interesting. Folks, stay tuned with that information. You can watch all that happening on MBS Quoteline. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoteline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoteline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market, whether you're in the office or on the road. See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to MBSQuoteline.com to start a risk-free 2-week trial. MBSQuoteline.com. 646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Welcome back, everybody. And we have also someone else back from vacation, Alice Alves. Both Joe and Alice told me about how they're vacationing in the cooler temperatures, one out in West Virginia. That was Joe. Alice up in northern Michigan. It was just so good to hear from you. And Alice was doing the show last week while on vacation. So it's good to have you back as well, Alice. It's a little slow in Washington, D.C. They're all out on vacation. Hopefully they're vacationing in northern Michigan, stimulating the economy there. But I'm not sure auto sales are going to be doing it for a while. But tell us a little bit of what is going on in the legislative update, the proverbial traffic report.
Right, yeah. Well, okay, I think what I need to do is just, while we have a little breather here on things aren't moving through Congress at the moment, at least, is give everybody, again, our little update on the Dodd-Frank Act. Joe had a great question in our pre-call about, what's already gone in place, and really kind of where's the calendar. And I think a lot of that depends on your view if you're watching the components of the act that related to more the security side. On our mortgage side, one of the things we're watching in the rules that have been published over the last few weeks are all about the transfer of OTS integration into the OCC, for example, really just the transfer of powers. So the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau did post its list of regulations that it oversees. And when you look at the list, you really realize how big this entity is going to be. They take over a lot of components from the FDIC and HUD and, you know, several of the agencies. So the quick list is that they are going to be overseeing ECOA, HMDA, electronic funds transfers, SAFE Act standards and oversight and mortgage loan origination, consumer leasing, privacy of consumer financial information, truth in lending, truth in savings, ARMs for non-federally chartered housing creditors under the under the Alternative Mortgage Transaction Parity Act. Say that one five times fast. I couldn't even get it out once without stumbling on it. Telemarketing, the thing, and mortgage acts and practices, preservation of consumer claims of defense. And actually, one of the big ones is hearing procedures pursuant to the Administrative Procedures Act, which was formerly a HUD process. So they really pick up this huge chunk out of our industry. What's happened so far is we talked about appraiser independence rules that went into effect April 1st. We are watching now that there is out for comment the Alternative Mortgage Transaction Parity Act, which is simply meaning this, that the state housing finance authorities, you know, that to continue for them to be able to offer adjustable rate mortgages, there needs to be a federal level rule for them because some states prohibit them from doing ARMs. So this federal rule provides a preemption over states and allows then each of the housing finance state agencies to provide ARM funding. So that was just a matter of trying to keep things the way they were, keep it consistent. So that's not a big one. That's why we haven't talked too much about it. One of the big ones that's getting a lot of press just from an audit standpoint is adding the word abusive. So that is essentially effective now. The CFPB added the word abusive to the term unfair or deceptive acts or practices. So what was UDAP, unfair deceptive acts or practices, becomes UDAAP, unfair or deceptive acts. I can't even. It's a Monday. Unfair or deceptive or abusive acts or practices.
Wow.
So this really, you know, the word abusive, how do you define that? Everybody's taking a look at their processes. Yeah, it really expands things. The one rule that's gone into effect, it actually became effective Friday, August 19th, was the advertising rules. So this was published July 21st and rolled out, and, of course, you know, right in there, 30 days, we've got to make sure you understand the advertising rules. It is a fairly short regulation, really, relatively speaking, but, you know, really dive into this and make sure your ads are clear and that you understand they do consider if a consumer would glance at an ad, maybe not read it in detail, but glance at it, is that something that would send an inaccurate message. So there's lots out there that has been put out. Now, what we're still waiting on is our several forms. From our aspect, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is supposed to hit us with several revisions of many forms for FHA, as well as combining the GFE intel and escrow account disclosures. We're also looking to see if they do anything with the loan officer compensation piece. As you all know, they have the authority to now put in that the originators would now have liability at a loan officer level for up to three times the amount of the claimant. We're looking to see if the proposal may include a safe harbor disclosure for everyone. Right now, there's just a description of the safe harbor for brokers, and some lenders and banks are already wondering if they should put in their own safe harbor now because, you know, again, it's waiting for all these rules out of CFPB, and a lot of them seem to be published one day and 30 days into it. You know, you're responsible for it. So they're happening quick, this is unique. If you really, if you are a community banker, there was a write-up done by the American Bankers Association on the impact on community banks of the regulatory restructuring bill that was done before the bill was finalized, but it gives you kind of an idea of, you know, really some of the on-the-street requirements that the community banks in particular are facing, for those of you who have to watch that depository side as well. Let's see. So in terms of other big days, oh, SAFE Act. I forgot.
SAFE Act, yes. How can we forget the SAFE Act?
Right. It impacts everyone. So those of you, and I should rephrase, it impacts those of you who have to pass the test. So loan officers who have to be licensed. If you are one of the few who don't test well, if you don't test well and you have not passed this test three times and you're headed for your fourth time, you have got to get that done this week, because effective August 29th, the SAFE Act HUD's clarification is going to limit that you can only fail the test three times before you have to sit out for 6 months before you can take it again. For this week, you can get up to four times. So those of you who need lots of practice, you know, it can happen to the best of folks. Or you have a bad day, or you second-guess yourself too many times. But heads up on that one. This is your last week for that fourth attempt. So that's my, FHA loan limits capped out at 625.5. I think everyone expected that to happen, so no big surprise there. So that is the main news for this week, Dave.
Well, it's hot in the news. It's cool up there, cool relative to our temperatures, but it's hot with all that's going on the legislative update. Alice, thank you so much. It's good to hear your voice and the way you bring it to us, and thanks to all of your staff there that work so hard to bring it out and help keep the stories, keep us on top of what's going on. Greet everyone there from us. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource, used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals, providing classroom and web-based delivery, and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record, performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees, both live and online, on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lickin.
Welcome back, everybody. You know what? I hear jingles in my head. A lot of people, I don't know what you guys got going on in your head. A lot of people got a lot going on there if you look at the mortgage industry. But as it relates to the Profit Doctor, there's this one ad that every time we get ready to go into the Profit Doctor segment, I keep thinking there's one window pane ad, and it's something to the effect of, you know, whatever firm it is, call this particular company, they'll fix your pain. Well, you know what? We have the Profit Doctor coming on each and every week, and I wish I got the jingle in my head. I can't get it out, or I'd try to sing it for everybody, but maybe that's the reason why I don't do that. It's a subtle hint. It doesn't want to come out. But it's true that if there is ever a time where you're trying to manage the bottom line of your company, we have with us on the phone, on the program, each and every week, the Profit Doctor to fix what's ailing, painting your bottom line. Profit Doctor, what do you have for us this week?
Well, thanks, Dave. Yeah, we're here to fix your pain.
Yeah, and there's a lot of pain out there.
Dave, I know later on today you're going to be going on the air with Neil Cavuto, and I just happen to have Fox Business up, and you're going to be talking about housing, as I understand it. Is that right?
That's correct.
I've got two quick solutions for you that you can convey to Neil. Just tell him, just do this, and everything will be fine.
Okay.
And all you got to do is the lenders have to make more loans, and people have to be able to buy more houses.
That's all you got to do. That's pretty
do
simple.
That,
that's simple.
And it solves the problem.
But Alice would be saying, but we got to make sure they have jobs, and I think that's the jobs report that's coming out. Jay Brinkman's comments that he just published, that's downsizing volume requirements. So we got to get people back to work too. But great, great point.
Well, didn't matter in 2004.
No.
Why does it matter now? We need people to buy houses.
Hey, I hit my thumb a lot. I got a house built, so let's go ahead and keep hitting our thumb. All right, so let's go on
today, Dave, we're going to talk about fat tails.
Fat tails.
Think of little bitty bunnies with great big fluffy tails. Fat tails.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about fat tails.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, fat tails are used a lot in. It's talked about a lot in finance.
I know Alice is. I know Alice is giggling in the background, just coming. Okay, fat tails. How is Andy? Only Andy can. The private doctor can get it into a calendar. All right.
Well, we were. You know, we talked to Don Brown a couple of weeks ago, and he would know what fat tails are. Fat tails are statistically improbable events. And so, if you think about the normal distribution of a statistical a group. So you have what they call a bell curve, and it looks like a bell, like the Liberty Bell. And on both sides of the Liberty Bell, it starts going down and down. It gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and actually it never gets to zero, but it keeps getting thinner and thinner and thinner the farther you go away from the middle of the bell. And that's called a bell curve, and that's a normal distribution, and the ends of the tail go out to the sides. Well, what happens is that we have a freak incident that occurs within one of the thin tails. So as the Liberty Bell makes its curves and goes down to the edges and then continues out toward infinity, it gets closer and closer to zero but never touches zero. And so this is where the whole notion of Six Sigma comes from. That's six standard deviation away from the mean, away from the middle. And that there should be very, very few incidences. But sometimes you'll have a high incident, a high significant number out in the tail, and that's what makes it become a fat tail. A fat tail is when something that's unexpected happens, something that you don't think was going to happen actually happens. And we have these things around us all the time, but we just, for the most part, ignore them. And I'll give you a couple of quick examples of fat tails. Fat tails, again, statistically improbable events. And the space shuttle has a couple of really good examples. Now, think about NASA. You've got the world's smartest people in NASA working on fixing things, building things, designing things, creating things, doing all the things that they do. And Dave, I don't know if you remember, I was actually watching this on TV in 1986 when the Challenger exploded. And the Challenger space shuttle exploded because of the O-rings. The O-rings were supposed to protect some of the fuel from the exhaust and the flames. It didn't work, and fuel leaked through, and it blew it up. And that was a very bad thing. So, you know, how did someone not think that rubber contracts when it's cold? Seems like a pretty straightforward thing to me.
Yep.
And then again, the Columbia exploded in 2003 on reentry, and it happened because the heat shield tiles got knocked off at launch, and it was reentering the atmosphere. The heat, the protection from the heat wasn't there, and it blew it up. Now, the thing that's interesting about Columbia is that NASA thought there was a problem, but they stopped looking for ways to solve the problem because they figured they weren't going to be able to fix it anyway. And that's what people do with fat tails. If they can't figure out what to do with it, they just basically ignore it. Yeah, you know, these happen all over the place with people. There's even a really recent simple example of this is when one of our senior consultants actually relocated to Austin recently, and everything was planned, the move was ready to go, the moving van was set, the boxes, the packing material was set, everything was in place, all ready to go. They planned the park to pack the car and go. Well, as it turned out, last minute, a family member needed the car, so the car wasn't available when they had to leave with the moving van, so they had no choice, but instead of getting in the car and driving comfortably across, they had to all pile into the moving van and drive because they had a deadline, had to meet. And so that's a fat tail. That's an unexpected occurrence. That's a statistically low probability event that happened even in a very simple situation. So not having a car is another example of a fat tail. So I'm talking about this because it's important to understand in our business, fat tails happen. And fat tails are unlikely events that are difficult to predict, and that's why people don't like to think about them. They're difficult to predict, and they can result in catastrophically damaging consequences. You talk about this a lot in finance, in the hedge strategies, where if you've got fat tail events in a hedge model strategy, you can have a very, very catastrophically damaging financial consequences. But they can happen in all areas. The space shuttle disaster blew up twice, and it was unexpected twice. And so people ignore fat tails because they're difficult to predict, and we just don't think about it. NASA didn't think about it, so we didn't think about it. So it's important when you run a business to not do what NASA did. We need to think about it. We need to try to understand it. We need to be prepared to deal with fat tails. And we have to try to anticipate the unexpected. So here's the point. All this is leading up to this. And I'm looking at the screen, Dave, to see if the producer's telling me when I have to stop talking. I don't want to go over because, you know, we got to be able to meet all of our sponsor cutoffs for the airwaves. So here's the point. The world's a dynamic place, and there are unexpected circumstances that happen all the time, and this leads to errors. So when we're in a mortgage banking operation, we can have pricing margins that aren't what we thought they were going to be, or we can have a branch that decides to float all the locks without any kind of coverage at all, or we can have doc sets that all got printed on the wrong documents and they were closed and they all have to be reclosed again. I've seen that before. Our firm, Dave, we've gone in, as you know, we go into hundreds of mortgage companies a year and look at mortgage companies on behalf of warehouse line lenders. And we've looked at companies all across the country, and we've seen these kind of things happen. As a matter of fact, one company didn't anticipate that investors would slow down their purchasing of their loans, and they almost didn't have enough money to make payroll. And that would have been a bad thing. You know, not making payroll is not good. So it's not possible to always predict the unexpected. It's not possible to always predict the unpredictable. That's why it's called unpredictable. But fat tails happen all the time. And while fat tails may not be within the statistical model, there are risk elements that those things drive that we have to be aware of. So we've got to think about it. We have to watch for fat tails even when we can't see them. So we've got to watch for what happens when volume changes. What happens when investors stop purchasing the loans at the same pace? What happens if the purchase prices are different? What happens if our pricing model changes or we have doc set errors or that, you know, you can think of on and on and on and on and on.
So many, absolutely.
Yeah. So, but see, that's where people shut down. They go, well, they can't think about it. We need to plan and think of the things that we can think of, because most oftentimes when the surprises happen, there are alternatives. Like in the case with the reload, the car wasn't there, so they got in the truck. In the case with doc sets that are printed wrong, well, you get them reprinted and get them resigned. Here's the deal. Things happen that we don't anticipate. Who would have thought a year ago that we'd all have to be doing the call report today?
Yeah.
That was one of those unpredictable things, and now we've got to do it, and that
we're
not finished with that either. That's going to be a problem.
Yep. That is going to get a fat tail for a lot of people. All right, good.
I've got to get to it. I've got to start wrapping up here. So the dynamics of rapid change are complicated, and there's something most mortgage bankers think about, and they don't normally think about in the normal activity, so we've got to help deal with that. So we at MBS, actually, we've launched a division. This focus is in managing change and evaluating if companies are prepared for the dynamics of rapid change. It's something that's really, really, really important. And I think, Dave, the future of mortgage banking is where owners and managers are going to look for solutions to problems before they happen, because they understand that fat tails are real and they really do happen. So we're excited to support the dynamics of rapid change in the industry, and we've launched this new division to help companies identify, find, and fix fat tails when they happen. We're going to continue to talk about fat tails on the weeks to come. There's lots of really interesting elements to this. We're also going to talk about how fat tails impact technology. When you come in the morning and need to get access to your pricing engine and it doesn't work, what are you going to do? So I've got to jump. The producer's yelling at me, but that's the profit doctor for the day, Dave.
It's good, though. He's not yelling at you. We're just feeling the pressure to go on. But it is good. Thank you so much. Fat tails. I like that. It's not that we've heard of Aesop tails. Now we've got fat tails. Another thing to watch in the mortgage industry. All right. Andy, thank you so much for bringing it to us. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry. If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan, if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit, broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs. If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact our Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Good to have you back. This is David Licken with Licken on Lending.
And one of the things we can do to help you take your business next level is help boost production. Production is a challenge for so many across the country today. It is off by growing amounts. The MBA just revised their application statistics. We got a little bit of a refinance boom going, just a mini one right now because of where interest rates are at, those that can are. But what are you going to do to increase production? Whose job is it to grow production? Our special guest is John Traver, who is a consultant in the area of production consulting. He actually is one of our associates, and we're glad to have John on the program today. How I met John was as a result of some LinkedIn discussions. For many of you that are on the radio and listen to us, know that there's a LinkedIn discussion group called Loan Originator Compensation and New Rules. It's now got over 3,000 members in it. And I guess right around that. I can't remember what the number is. But it's really a place where, you know, many are coming on and posting a lot of comments. John Traver was making some comments, and I loved his attitude. And so I reached out to John, connected with him, said, who are you? I love your attitude. I love that kind of fresh perspective. We need that. I'm hungry to hear it myself. And I think the industry is here and is ready to hear that. As a result, John and I started a dialogue, and it wasn't much later that John joined our firm. So it's good to have John Traver with us. And, John, I want to make sure we have your mic on. You're there?
I'm here. It's a pleasure to be here, Dave.
Good to have you here, John. And then, John, again, you've got a lot of years in production management. You've got a lot of great wisdom to share with people that are out there. So let's start off. Production has generally been done by LOs going out and finding business, and branch managers paying good splits, in other words, you know, helping attract the most the best companies or the best originators. Companies have been able to focus on the back end, providing good rates and good programs to the producers. Do you see this, the way things have been, do you see things changing as we move forward into this new economic and this new climate we're in?
I do, Dave, and actually it's already started to change. Obviously, with some of the changes the industry has been through, and most notably the recent loan officer comp changes, one of the biggest elements of growing production was in the form of providing splits or a higher split than your competition. And obviously with LO comp, that is no longer something that a company can use to recruit either an LO or branch. So companies and branches have already, you know, through the new regulation, been forced to adjust their models. And many are looking and working at new ways to do that as we move forward.
Well, no question that there's been those are some of the changes we're seeing. Alice, you've talked about LO compensation changes and some of the things going on out there.
Yeah, so John, welcome to the program, John. So
Thank you.
Talk about when we see loan officer compensation, you know, affecting how those splits and other offers may be made. Among all those, we have lots of industry challenges. What are you seeing the way that this is changing how folks are going about originating loans and finding good originators?
Well, it's becoming more and more difficult combining the compensation changes with, you know, the NMLS and the SAFE Act, where it's not as easy to get into the business. Companies and branch managers are adjusting, you know, their sales pitches and their propositions to potential loan officers. Loan officers themselves are now struggling with, for the most part, making less per loan than they're used to in the past, which requires them to be more efficient in generating loans for themselves so that they can earn the income that they're used to earning. And it's a change that everyone from a loan officer to a branch manager to a company are all adjusting the way that they've done business for years and years and years. No industry that I can ever remember has gone through such a dramatic change. I mean, think about if all of a sudden the real estate industry said instead of 3%, you could make $1,000 per house. Imagine what that would do to realtors.
Yeah.
That's
great
what
point.
Happened to us. And it turned our industry upside down, and companies have done a pretty good job at minimizing the problems for the originators, but it is starting to create new dynamics between originator and customer and originator and company. And the good companies are now getting out in front of that and looking for ways to do new and exciting things for their originators to make them happy and successful.
Joe,
hey, John, this is Joe Farr.
I was going to say, Joe, jump in here, because you certainly talk to a lot of LOs out there.
Well, and I was going to carry on with that comment. We are seeing companies, our service, for instance, is being we've seen far more interest at a corporate level for our service. And John, you may not know what we do, but we provide market information to originators, and that's just maybe one of many things that companies have thought they can do and can do to help attract LOs. Are you finding LOs out there that are in a position to say, hey, what can you do for me?
Yeah, I tell you what, you know, there's one of the things that I really wanted, the message I wanted to get out to everyone, you know, that may be listening today, whether you're a loan officer or a branch manager, and those of us in the industry have been beaten down for the last year and a half with everything from, you know, the new GSE to the subprime collapse to appraisal management changes, and then obviously the LO comp was tough as well on all of us. So we've all been kind of beaten up a little bit. The one thing message I wanted to really get out there and tell people is to keep their chin up, and most importantly, now is maybe the best time ever for a high-end LO or a branch manager to market their services to other companies. There is a high demand for quality people, and companies are willing to not only provide quality income for those people, but they're now providing tools and services that were never really before available or at least provided by companies to help solidify and get those people in the door and working for them rather than their competition. And if you're a high-end LO or a branch manager and you're not at least looking at what else is out there and what your options are, you're doing yourself a short service, because there are opportunities for you out there. They may be better than where you're at, or you may just find that you're in the best place. And if so, that's great. But there's a lot of exciting things going on, and most originators that are concentrating on originating loans may not even be aware of what they're able to get if they were to look to make a move.
Well, I just want to jump in here, and John, I think you're bringing out some great points, but we've got to take a quick break for one of our sponsors. We appreciate our sponsors so much. We'll be right back after this brief break.
PMI Mortgage Insurance Company is the clear choice for your higher LTV conventional borrowers. Unlike FHA, PMI offers a choice of flexible premium plans to fit the individual needs of each borrower, from a one-time upfront cost with no renewal premium to a monthly plan with no upfront charges. PMI's premium plans recognize larger down payment and good credit history, saving your clients what can at times be thousands of dollars. PMI also provides lenders with fast electronic submission tools to increase efficiencies. Mortgage insurance is more relevant than ever, so it's important to utilize a mortgage insurer who's committed to the business for the long term. It is vital that you work with a company whose core competency is credit risk management, and bring that wealth of knowledge to your firm. At PMI, mortgage insurance is their only business, so they have to get it right. PMI's mission is to create sustainable homeownership opportunities. To learn more about how PMI solutions can assist your business, please contact your PMI representative today or call 800-966-4PMI, 800-966-4PMI.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dave Licken, and we have as our special guest John Traver, production consultant, and we're getting into some really interesting discussion about how things have changed. Andy Schell, I'll let you join in on this discussion.
Hey, Dave, thank you very much. Well, hey, John, it's great to have you on the program. I'm excited about this area because this is where the rubber meets the road. It's being able to get the production up, get volume up, and in a way that actually adds value to the company is so essential. And, you know, we've all been in mortgage banking for a long time, and production's been the way it's been, and you and I have talked about this before, that the way things were are not the way things are now. And growing production is much more of a team sport now. And it involves a lot of folks in the company, the management, recruiting, LO recruiting, branch manager training. So who's not involved in getting branches up to speed and getting volume increased, and how has that changed?
Well, these days everyone is becoming involved, and whether they like it or not, they're starting to realize that every level, from an owner of a large banking firm all the way down to the receptionist that answers the phone, everyone's job it is now to be involved in production. And when it comes to the recruiting side for companies, you know, because the competition is so fierce for high-producing LOs and high-producing branches, you know, the companies that can say, we're going to offer you A, B, C, and D in the way of support, whether it be a marketing team that helps with flyers, whether it be providing additional outside training on how to build relationships with realtors and builders, which is a, you know, an area. Joe mentioned that, you know, his services have certainly picked up recently. I can tell you one of the areas that I specialize in is working with companies to help train their loan officers and branch managers how to build the relationships, the long-standing relationships that will withstand the test of time and interest rate changes. Those services are now becoming more and more needed. And the companies that can say to a potential branch or LO, these are the things we're going to do for you if you come here versus where you're at now or where else you're looking, they're in a much stronger position to recruit that $2 million a month LO. Everyone's paying roughly the same when it comes to LO comp. I mean, there's a little differences here depending upon, you know, the companies, but it's not enough to make a huge difference. And so LOs and branch managers are really asking questions of companies, asking them, what are you going to do for me to help me grow my business? What relationships can you bring me? What training can you give me to make me a better LO or branch manager? And those companies that have an answer to those questions are growing, and those that don't have an answer to those questions are really struggling to not only recruit new branches and LOs, but to maintain the ones they have.
Well, I have a quick follow-up on that, John. I don't want you to spill the secret sauce, but what are one or two of the key elements to that that really bring value to make it so that branches would want to join or stay?
Well, I think that one of the things that companies are starting to realize now, and sometimes they can do this internally, and sometimes they do need some, you know, experts like from MBS and some of the great people you have on the show to come in and help. But I think it's important to remember that not every LO is very strong in every area. A lot of companies provide quality training when it comes to filling out applications or keeping up on the disclosure changes and a lot of the stuff that Alice covers on a weekly basis. You know, companies are forced to spend money to train their LOs because there is so much risk if they don't train them properly. But in the past, most companies have not spent the money or the time to train their LOs on how to be great salespeople, on how to build long-lasting relationships. And I think that's really the thing that companies are starting to understand is that it's just as important to make sure that when your loan officer goes out to meet with a realtor or a builder, that they present themselves properly, they know how to say things, they can say things that the builders and realtors want to hear, and that they can provide some value-added support to those people that are actually moving the product in the industry. And that if they're simply out there handing out rate flyers, which has typically been the case for the majority of our industry forever, that simply is not going to, you know, continue to cut it when it comes to growing production. And the more that some companies provide this additional value-added service, the more others will be forced to follow where they'll die on the vine.
I know we got just a few minutes remaining. Alice, go ahead and jump in.
Oh, no, I was just going to say I found it interesting that you said $2 million per month, you know, that was a good loan officer these days. So I think that's a benchmark, too, for people that hear. I just had a quick question on just the idea of the, you know, the impact for should operations be stepping up? You've mentioned, you know, the marketing and the training support.
Great question.
But, you know, it's the change in their responsibilities to make them more efficient. Do you see big changes in the expectations of an originator just purely from a putting the application and documentation side together?
I think there is the expectations have always been there on the originator side. What I think is changing is the willingness on the operations side to listen. You see more now originator side and operations side getting along and working together than you ever have in the past. In the past, it was the underwriters, the operations managers might say, well, these are our rules and we're sticking to it. And now that production is becoming, like Andy mentioned, a team sport, operations managers, underwriting managers, and underwriters are starting to understand that every potential loan package is production. It not only impacts that potential borrower and that potential loan, but more importantly, it impacts the relationship that the originator has and where they generated that loan. And if you don't do what you can, and if, you know, you decide not to discuss a loan, and all of a sudden that client goes to another mortgage company, has a longer conversation with an underwriter and can get the loan done, what does that do to the relationship that Yellow had with that realtor or builder? They said we couldn't do it, somebody else did it. And a lot of times that happens simply because the relationship between the originator side and the operation side isn't strong enough to have those conversations. And companies are starting to, again, because production is starting to slip, they're starting to look at those things now and saying, why is it happening, listening to originators when they try to tell them, hey, you know, we ticked off a realtor, and now they don't want to do business with me anymore. And I think you're starting to see that relationship get better.
I think so, and I think it's as much a responsibility as originators to work successfully with ops people. I know Alice will say amen to that. The most responsible companies, they're always trying to work in good concert with each other, but there have been those groups that are odd. Joe, I know you got one last question before we wrap up the segment.
Well, I just wanted to ask John. I'm sure he's talked to companies that he in the back of his mind says, hey, they're not going to make it, and he's talked to companies that he can just see without a doubt they're going to make it. And I wondered if he'd share like a couple of primary characteristics of those that he thinks will make it as opposed to those that he thinks will not.
Yeah, there's really two key areas that I think companies, what I see as the stronger companies are doing. The first one is they're spending the majority of their time, time, money, effort, energy on how do we grow purchase production. And it's real easy to get caught in, as Dave mentioned, the refi boom when rates get to as low as they are today. It's real easy to sit back and take the refis, but at some point these rates are going to go up. And because they've been so low for so long, once they do go up, and even if they go to 5 or 5.5, that refi volume is going to drop to near zero. And unlike in the past where we've had a refi boom every 2, 3, 4 years, we may not see another refi boom for 10 years because rates have been so low for so long. Everyone that will have a mortgage will already be at a great rate. And so we'll have to have rates go to 5.5 or 6 or 7 and then sit there for a year or two. People purchase homes at those high rates. And then the rates have to turn around and go back down before we're going to see another refi boom. And that may be a really long time. And so companies really have to be spending majority of their time not sitting back on their volume that may be 50, 60, 70% refi and start to build that purchase business for the future. So I think that's one big key area. The other area is the companies that are out there working and deciding what areas they're going to play in. Are we going to specialize in dealing with the smaller branches that are out there, the 1, 2, and 3-man shops, or the companies that are more geared up to truly handle the $30, $40, and $50 million a month branches? There's a lot of companies out there that just say, we want everybody, bring them all to us. And they're not necessarily a great fit for everybody. So companies figuring out who they are, where they can succeed, and what space they need to play in, and then target that segment of the market, I think are going to be successful. The companies that are trying to be everything to everybody are generally missing out and are going to have a hard time surviving, I think, as things start to get different and as companies start to provide more value to their branches and to their LOs.
That's a great point, John. We appreciate so much you bringing us kind of some feedback and overall perspective. We're going to have John again on in September talking a lot more about some of the production strategies. Also have Pat Sherlock on talking about recruiting and all of that. We really appreciate the you taking some time out of your busy day and schedule. I know you got a lot of clients you're working with that are definitely drawing on your knowledge and expertise, and we're thrilled to have you carve out a little time for us today. You can reach John by going to our website, mortgagebankingsolutions.com, www.mortgagebankingsolutions.com. Go to click on About Us, our team, and you'll see John's bio, his background, his email address, all of that. His email address is J. Traver, T-R-A-V-E-R, at mbs-team.com, or you can dial our main line, 512-977-9900, and enter extension 112, and you'll get a hold of John, extension 112. John, thank you so much for taking a minute to be with us today on the program. We look forward to having you back in September talking and getting a lot more in-depth about production strategies. Thank you so much.
Dave, it was a pleasure to speak with so many great minds in the industry, and I look forward to doing it again.
I look forward to it, John. Thank you so much. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's Trot can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's Trot has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's Trot can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzeltrot represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzeltrot today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzeltrot, the single source solution for your quality control needs. And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lincoln on Lending Show.
Good to have you back, everybody. Another person that's been gone and out and away from the program for a while is our very own Tony Garitano, Mr. Technology, a guy that's got great perspective and also publishes on Progress in Lending. If you haven't read the blogs there or his magazine, you've got to get it. It's good to have you back, Tony. And let's talk a little bit. I want to make sure you're there. We got you on the phone.
I'm here, Dave. Can you hear me?
Yes, we do now. Good to hear you. Good to hear your voice. We just heard about the gloomy MBA's volume numbers for next year. It's not encouraging. I'd like to get some of your thoughts on it. How can we be more efficient in a down market? Do you see ways in which we can do so, Tony?
I think, you know, you got to start at the beginning, Dave. I mean, I saw those numbers this morning just like everyone else, and they say that they're the lowest they've been in 15 years, I think. So, you know, that calls for drastic measures, and I think that a good way to start is at the beginning with electronic delivery and electronic disclosures. If you're not doing that now, you probably really should be. I mean, during 9/11,
great point.
For example. Well, I mean, I was in New York during 9/11, for example, Dave, and I know of a lender that was actually in Manhattan during that time as well. And they wanted to get information out about their employees' health and to let their families know that the employees were safe, et cetera, et cetera. So they actually called an e-disclosure, e-delivery company. And that
You're
company
kidding.
Had them up. Honestly, they had them up with e-disclosures and e-signing in 1 hour. And
wow.
That company was able to send out an electronic form to let people know that their employees were safe. So, you know,
wow.
Case in point, for those lenders
yeah.
that think it's going to take a lot of time, it's not going to give me a return on investment, e-disclosures and e-delivery of e-disclosures in particular is something that can be really quick and can get you a lot of efficiency in short order. It's a good
That's amazing. And they got it done in an hour. I mean, so here
in an hour,
the time
1 hour.
It takes. Yeah. So it blows away the misnomer that it takes a long time to get some technology set up. Certainly that can be the case. We've all seen those stories, but that is encouraging.
Yep.
Let's talk from a technology perspective. I read so much your blogs. I love what you publish, Tony. I think you've got some great people writing for you out there. I get to be one of the guys occasionally when I get the time to write the article. I love doing it. But let's talk briefly from your perspective, how can we get more business in a down market? Any ideas from what you're seeing?
Well, I think, again, if we continue the conversation about the point of sale,
yep.
electronic disclosures and e-delivery can actually be a way that you can extend great customer service. And that can be a differentiator if you know how to market it. I mean, look at the ads that we all see on TV from Quicken Loans about customer satisfaction.
Right.
I mean, why not do something as simple as e-disclosures and create a marketing campaign around how you're offering your customers a whole lot of choices on how they transact a loan? I mean, that I'm thinking can get you a lot of referral business. It can get you a lot of repeat business, and it can really differentiate you in your neighborhood if it's something that your competitors are not doing. And like I said, it's really fast and easy.
So it's really getting to the point of focusing on getting efficiency in the marketplace through technology, and you're focusing really a lot on e-disclosures. That's interesting. I think it's a great idea. And all that it brings what the profit doctor loves, gets more of the carbon-based systems out of it, which has got a heavier cost. I mean, carbon-based system humans, gets more of the silicone-based systems in the technology. Tony, thank you so much. Good to have you back, by the way. You've had a busy summer, I know. It's good to have you back on the program, Tony.
Thanks. Thanks for having me back, Dave. I love being on the program each and every week.
Well, give us a quick update on in progress and lending. What are we focusing on right now? What are some of the articles and what are some of the blogs? What you see going on your blog? What's real of interest to you that you want to tell everyone to go out there and read? Be sure to catch.
Well, the new issue of our magazine is up in about a week and a half. It's going to focus on the LOS space. We saw the acquisition by Ellie Mae with the Del Mar database. We're actually going to talk to Avista, who is another LOS that's prominent in that space, and get their reaction to that acquisition and see what they're up to. So the LOS space is heating up once again. More acquisitions and you know, look for that in the next issue, which you should find in about a week and a half on our website.
Well, I think it's great to see that. I talked to Rob Katz of Del Mar Database. He's another one of our sponsors, and Del Mar DataTrack, excuse me, and one of the guys that we tune into regularly, what's going on, a great guy. And I think it's interesting that Ellie Mae, interesting in a positive way, there's consolidation happening. We've been seeing it for some time. Tony, it's good to have you with us. We look forward to having you back next week. You going to be here next week?
I will definitely be here next week, and I can actually give you a few more efficiency tips that don't include e-disclosures in the point of sale.
All right. Want to hear all about that. We're all interested in efficiencies. I know the profit doctor always is. Tony, thank you so much. Appreciate you. Have a great week.
You too, Dave.
Folks, we want to turn our direction a little bit back to our main guests, Andy, Alice,
and Joe.
And let's start with Joe. Give us an update. We talked about, you started off earlier in the week talking about volatility, or how you started the day off saying, hey, it's going to be a little bit of a slow day. Is the volatility remaining? Give us a quick update before we go to the exit on the show.
MBS prices have improved during this show, so that's a good thing.
Oh,
we're up about 330 seconds from where we were, and not quite to the high for the day, but not a terribly volatile last couple hours.
Well, that's good. Hopefully, it'll settle down. We get a little bit of a summer break here from some of the volatility. I don't anticipate that, though, Joe. Thank you so much, Alice. You and I are speaking in September at the MBA Operations Conference. Do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about that and how they can learn more? Alice, did we lose you? I think you're there, Alice.
Nope, here I am. Sorry.
All right.
Am I still there?
Yep, you're here.
All right, the MBA Mortgage Operations Conference is being held in conjunction with the Quality Assurance and Underwriting Conference. So that's September 12th and 13th for operations, 13th through 15th for QA and underwriting. And Dave and I are going to be speaking about the right loan process, and we're going to be walking through all that what is the right loan process, including the technology. And I have a question for Andy. So if you completely ignore something, can it become a fat tail, even though it was statistically low probability? Now they've ignored it so much that statistics are increasing, right? I see that all the time when people go, I'm never going to get written up for that, or those loans have gotten insured by HUD, it must be fine. Is that a fat tail?
Well, you bet. All these things, people ignore them all the time.
I tell you, that is so true, and it's good to hear about fat tails, all the analogies that the Profit Doctor brings us every week. Folks, the four of us, Alice, Andy, Joe, and myself, appreciate you listening in each and every week to be a part of the program. We're growing this, our audience, by word of mouth, and it is growing. Our audience is growing dramatically. We appreciate you passing the word around. Again, you can go to www.lykkenonlending.com, and you can download broadcasts. Going back for actually years, we've been doing this now, well over 3 years since we started this, and there's a lot of broadcasts, you know, and some of the material is timeless. We appreciate you tuning in and being with us each and every week. We now ask you to just pass the word around. Have a great week, and we look forward to talking to you next week at this same time. Have a great week, everybody. Stay cool, and talk with you next week. Thank you.
This has been Lykken on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lykken of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Crowline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Elvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.